everyone. Welcome to the podcast. I'm here today with Farha Khalidi, right?
Khalidi.
Okay, you don't make the... Where are you from?
I'm Saudi and Indian.
Okay, so you speak Arabic?
I speak nothing. I only speak English.
I'm nothing.
you're deaf mute.
I have no first language.
What about your parents? Do they speak Arabic?
No, they're Muslim though, but they speak Urdu and Hindi, I think.
Okay.
Each one speaks a different one, and then they kind of communicate. Yeah.
Okay. So if you were an Arabic background, you would get that KH sound. It would be kha. It would be Khalidi.
Okay. So I'm saying it wrong.
Well, I don't know about if it's coming from Arabic. It might be Hindi or Urdu.
No, it's Arabic. Yeah.
Yeah. It should be Khalidi.
Okay, I'll work on that.
You have a beauty. Yeah.
It feels like. Okay. Never mind.
I know you're going to say it feels like you're throwing up or something, but you gain appreciation for these guttural Arab sounds after a while.
Putting the chutzpah on it, yeah.
Yeah, but I know you are Arabic.
I am Persian.
Oh my goodness. I thought I was talking to two Arabs and I'm getting two South Asians.
Yeah, so I speak Farsi.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, not Arabic.
Yeah, Farsi stole 25% of its vocabulary from the Arabs.
Yeah, we're like, but there's four letters we have that Arabic doesn't have. P.
Yes.
Ch.
Uh-huh.
And I forgot the other two.
It's V. And I think that's three. I don't know if there's four, but
I think there's four. I just don't know what the fourth one is.
Okay. And how do you describe what you guys do? Because it's not that simple, is it?
I pretty much just say content creation. Like I do TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and then OnlyFans is also under that umbrella, which may categorize me as an e-prostitute. But I just stick to content creator for the most part.
Yeah.
I just go because I do more like OnlyFans dominant content than I think she does. So I just say like sex worker or OnlyFans creator, whatever. I'm not too picky about it.
Yeah. And so how did you guys get into the OnlyFans space? Because you did that. The OnlyFans was first for both of you, was it not?
No.
Before like the other content?
Before all the other content.
For me, yes. For her, no. So I actually did this. I graduated law school in 2021 and I was studying for the bar. And I knew when I was studying for the bar, I didn't actually want to work as a lawyer or like work like a 9-to-5. So I started my OnlyFans while I was studying because I was bored. Uh-huh. And it took off. So I passed the bar and I was like, oh, fuck, because I was making so much money on OnlyFans and I didn't want to like actually work.
Yeah.
But I did because I was at my firm for like 7 months and it was just horrible. Because I was making so much more money. I didn't want to be there, so I eventually just quit, and now I do OnlyFans and content.
And everyone, that clicking sound you hear is Jasmine banging her nails on the table.
It's soothing.
Yeah.
ASMR.
So I discovered you guys, not through OnlyFans, but through the other content. Mm-hmm. You have these debates with these red pill guys, and the genius who thought this up, take these OnlyFans girls and take these like manosphere types and have mm-hmm. them debate. I mean, it's huge, isn't it? Isn't that whatever podcast? I see it all the time. It must have like
it's like algorithm crack on YouTube and especially on short form like reels and TikToks and shorts. Like they're averaging like a million views per clip. Yeah.
Yeah. And so how did you get specifically into that?
I was doing TikTok full time and then I started my OnlyFans probably like a year into doing TikTok full time. And then that opened a lot of doors for me, which is funny because they always say that like OnlyFans is going to like ruin your career, but it actually like excels it because it's so salacious and everyone wants to like bring you on for talking about it. Like even though I already had like 2 mil on TikTok, people don't really care about that, but they're like, oh my god, you like show your body online, like let's talk about that. So I went on Fresh and Fit and then that was super fun, and then I talked to like Sneeko and Fresh, and then I went on whatever podcast, and then we just became addicted to it, to the thrill.
Yeah. And you brought Jasmine along into this manosphere world.
Actually, no, independently. We kind of just met because we were the only two, like, debate bros who were women. Yeah, and I feel like people would try to, like, pit us against each other sometime, but then we just, like, clicked, and now we do, like, some shows together.
Yeah, I mean, they're always looking for girls to bring on.
Yeah.
And it's a really good way to promote your OnlyFans, which is why so many OnlyFans and sex workers go on there, because their audience is all male, and they're all, like, insane. Mm-hmm. So they're going to, you know, they hate women, but that's mostly because they don't do well with them, and they're like, a really great target audience for us. So I saw all these other girls going on there, and I'm like, oh, I could do that. And so it's really easy to get on. You go on, but so many other girls aren't able to like articulate themselves well or give them pushback. So it became really easy to do that because didn't have much competition.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's what I felt. I felt like when I watched these clips at first, it was like they were, they're Washington generals. Are you guys too young to get that reference? Anyways, it was like token opposition. They'd bring these girls on and they wouldn't know what they were doing. And then I saw Farha specifically, and it was like, wow, like she actually owns these guys once in a while. And is that what you think your advantage is here? That you guys are a little bit more articulate than your typical, like, because most OnlyFans girls did not go to law school.
We can credit ourselves. We're obviously naturally intelligent, but we both have like backgrounds in like pretty good educational spaces. Like, she went to law school. I went to like prep school and boarding school my whole life and stuff like that. So I don't even want to like slam these girls by saying that like, oh, they're just like naturally inarticulate and stuff. I think we kind of just have that edge on them.
Yeah.
And then I think also, if you compare us to other girls in our sphere, like, I'm sure our colleagues don't look at us and necessarily think like, you guys are like killing it, you're so intellectual. But because we do OnlyFans, we're kind of like dark horses, and they compare us not to like her law school colleagues or my boarding school colleagues, but to like sex workers.
Exactly. And I also think that we have an edge in that a lot of people, even if they're really smart or whatever, they don't want to be in these environments where people are just shitting on them. Like, we are literally watching the chat as we're on there calling us like every name in the book. And both of us are just temperamentally suited for this. Like, we're just like, oh, okay.
We get off on it. Yeah. Like, people were like, do you not feel sad when these guys are just calling you like demons for 2 hours? We're like, no, we get dopamine. Like, it's so ridiculous and absurd. Like, we love the bloodbath.
I like literally does not hurt our feelings at all. So because of that, we are really temperamental.
What percentage is it calling you demons and sinners versus like
99?
But there's not like a sexual sort of, oh, I'm gonna do stuff to you, you demon.
It's a really pretty low. I'm gonna do stuff to you. Like, I don't get that many. Like, I guess some death threats.
I do 50, get that. 50-50. I get people saying things like, I'm going to breed your bad opinions away or something.
So we get that too. And some of them are just pure hate, and then some of them have like a sexual twist to them.
I have a theory about women from the Muslim world that they are sort of, they're repressed, and that as soon as you sort of give them freedom, they become wild.
Like, yeah, we're whores unleashed in the West, you know? I mean, I think there's some truth to that, possibly. Like, I grew up in a pretty Muslim household. Like, I wasn't even allowed to wear shorts or even, like, any tight-fitting top. So I think because of that, I probably, I don't want to say overcorrected, because then that's, like, moralizing OnlyFans, but I do think that, like, incentivized me to want to explore my sexuality online more, for sure, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, it's what I mean, but just not just, like, sexually, but just, like, sort of in, like, the women in my family are Middle Easterners. They're, you know, they would never do OnlyFans or anything like that. But they're very sort of bossy and aggressive, and, like, they have, like, a strong will.
That's true.
And it's, like, you look at these societies from the outside, and the women are just repressed, and the men are telling them, you know, what they can wear and where they can go.
That's very true. People always think, like, oh, you're coming from Iran, like, your dad must, like, have run the household. I was like, no, my mom's a lawyer, and she ran the household. Like, it's just very normal for the women to kind of be in charge in these, at least in Persian households, and a lot of people don't know that from the outside.
Yeah.
That's why it's funny when, like, Western guys demonize Western women, and they say they're so masculine, they're going to go seek a bride abroad. Because they're like, they're so much more feminine. Because I'm like, once you bring them to the West, it's like what you just said, they're going to unleash. They're not just, like, naturally agreeable women. It's submissive, because, like, it's congruent to their culture. So, like, once they're here, they're going to give you shit. So it's so short-sighted.
Even there, they give you shit. Yeah. Like, in the households, like, in the ways that they can, they're aggressive. They're running shit. They're not just sitting there cooking, like, all sweet and submissive. It's like,
they're like cooking and yelling at you too, right? They act like they're cooking and like telling you like, oh, you're so handsome. Like, I'm so grateful for you.
They're like yelling at the men. Like,
Yeah, there was a book by George Bernard Shaw. It's like a story where he has a character going, I'm sick of women. Take me to one of the Muslim countries where they protect men from women. And it's like,
that's so funny.
Like, you know, maybe this system has sort of built itself to sort of balance out just the craziness of Mediterranean and Middle Eastern women.
Are your parents Muslim?
Culturally, I would say. Okay. Like, we weren't like we never went to mosque. Like, my parents weren't like
fast.
My dad used maybe when I was really young. Now they don't. And so not really, no.
Yeah.
They never forced it onto us, or even like, my parents were more like deists, like, oh, like, just like, oh, don't waste your food, God won't like it. Like, that was the extent of like how much they pushed it on us.
And I know you've talked about your family and how they've reacted to the OnlyFans. And I saw that video where you said that your dad, it seems like they were moving towards living with it. It seems like they're in the acceptance phase.
I mean, I think they're just kind of like partially in denial and partially in like acceptance. Like, I think like now, because I'm like, oh, I'm in LA doing a podcast. So like, oh, okay, you're just a podcaster now, and I'm like, sure, but no. So yeah, that's kind of what what it is. I mean, they were really mad at me for a while, but I mean, what are they going to do? Like, never talk to me again?
Yeah. So. How about you, Farha? How's your family been reacting?
So it's interesting because people always assume that like my parents have a personal gripe with OnlyFans. When reality, my mom had a huge gripe with me doing social media in general. Like when I first started my YouTube channel, which is not vulgar at all. Like I was fully clothed on YouTube and TikTok, didn't even show any cleavage. I wore like baggy t-shirts and sunglasses and I blew up doing like kind of comedic videos. My mom just didn't want me putting myself online out there at all because she thought this is going to hinder your job prospects. So she didn't speak to me for a few months. She was like, that was her way of an ultimatum. And she was basically saying like, I want you to delete this because I'm worried about you. Like, I want you to focus on like, you know, I was a senior in college when I was blowing up on TikTok and she's like, I want you to focus on other pursuits. You're bringing like bad attention onto yourself, you know? So I think they don't care too much about the OnlyFans itself because now that I've made a full-time career out of TikTok, now OnlyFans is just another, you know what I mean?
You branch off the tree. And so they're like, okay, yeah.
Now they're not too worried about my career prospects because now they come to Miami and I like pay for their like hotels and restaurants and stuff. So their main fear wasn't necessarily stigma for the sake of stigma, but more so stigma for the sake of, am I ruining my life and my economic prospects?
That's surprising. I get they would be uncomfortable with TikTok, but it does seem to me like OnlyFans, especially said they're a religious Muslim family, it seems like that would be another step. So it was just like, whatever, it's just more TikTok.
I think it's cognitive dissonance. Like, I think if I started OnlyFans without the TikTok, my mom probably wouldn't have spoken to me at all ever again. But I think because she already had to put such a barrier between being aware of even just my TikTok, I think anything at this point, she just has to pretend like, okay, that's Farha's work life. We're just going to go to Miami, literally, go to the beach, eat at nice restaurants and say like, bye, love you.
At this point, I could come out as like trans, anything. And my mom would be like, okay, like I just already broke the...
They gave up on us.
Exactly. Our parents are done.
Okay, yeah. So young women out there, if you're worried about your family's reaction to OnlyFans, start out with social media. And it's like boiling the frog.
Yeah.
I think that
in the door, yeah.
Yeah, because I think that's like my impression too, is that like they parents come to America. When I was a kid, when I was like a teenager, like they saw me like smoking. Right, just cigarettes. I was smoking cigarettes at like 13 or 14. And they're like, oh my God, like what if we came to this country and we have a son who smokes cigarettes? And then it was like, okay. And then it would be the next thing. It would be like alcohol or it would be like pot or I would get arrested. And then like everything would be just like not a big deal because of the last thing. Where if you start with the last thing, it's just really, really shocked them.
Yeah, I mean, it's like that
That's
idea.
That's what I did, though. I started with the last
thing.
Of how
like the youngest sibling gets like the least amount of slack while the oldest sibling had like the most rules. It's like our oldest sibling is our first iteration of content creation. And after that, they just give up.
Yeah. And, like, loosen up. Yeah. I was always, my parents were always super involved in my life and also really like spoiled me too. So, and even though I did like, my parents would have been fine if I just did social media. They were just really upset about OnlyFans. But at some point they're just like, they like me too much. Like I'm lucky in that way. Like they wouldn't be able to not talk to me for more than a few months. Like both of them. Cause I was still in contact with my sister and they're like, they ask about you every day. They ask what you're doing every day. Like they're literally like obsessed with me. So I feel like because of that, I was lucky that they couldn't stay away for long and they had to cope with it somehow.
Yeah. And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have one sister who's also a lawyer. So it's just like lawyers, engineers, like the typical Persian lawyer, doctor, engineer. And then I was like, porn star.
Same. It goes engineer, lawyer, whore.
Yeah, literally.
Engineer, lawyer, whore. Yeah. So when you start out on OnlyFans, do you yourself like feel like a threshold? Because I just figure like the first time you post a picture online, that's you nude. That's got to be like, I don't know, intimidating?
I started like face everything knowing that I had to like get a job after I took the, I just didn't care. I don't know what it was. It was just like, and I didn't have any social media before. I didn't have an Instagram. I had no digital footprint.
They must have thought you were possessed by demons or something.
I'm not even Latina and I posted like a picture of my breasts and my face laying down in the Latina. And I just remember feeling nothing and going out and getting dinner after.
So you started with Reddit. That was
I
your
started with
Greg.
Reddit. Yeah. Reddit was my, it's still my like number one platform.
And then what happened?
Platform.
People were like, did it go viral or something?
Yeah. So I like literally started posting on Reddit because I wanted to do something kind of like on the deal. Like I, you know, like Reddit to find this stuff, you have to be on the forums for it or on the subreddits for it. And I did really well, really quickly. And Reddit to this day is my top platform. I have one of the top Reddit accounts in the world and I still use it to funnel traffic into my OF. And I started making a lot of money, like way more than I'd make as a first year associate, way more than I make as a partner before I even started working at my firm. So I was like, okay.
Yeah. So people can't pay you through Reddit. Reddit just has to be a funnel to OnlyFans.
Yeah. Yeah, or like I also run like a premium Snapchat, so you can like DM me about that, and I can you can pay through like Cash App, and I can add you to the private story. But most of the for the most part, I use it as a funnel to OnlyFans.
Yeah. How about you, Farhah? How was the first picture? Is it something you guys remember fondly, or OF people like, oh, my first picture? Is it like?
Well, I don't think it's a single picture. It's usually like a set. Like you go, you know what I mean? You want to monetize that first month the hardest. So it's not like there's some like, you know what I mean? Sentimental first photo. But for me, like I would get super offended if anyone was like trying to goad me into getting onto OnlyFans. I thought it was so like dehumanizing and disrespectful. If they're like, why don't you start OnlyFans? Like you have such a big platform. And I was like, I'm so much more than like my tits or my body. Like, why would you ask me of that? But I also went to like old money prep schools my whole life. My parents aren't rich or anything, but I like was a financial aid kid. So the people I was around, like I was like, I would never do this in my life. But then I moved to LA to kind of pursue content creation. And there it was so destigmatized that the idea of joining OnlyFans just felt like getting on Instagram to me. So like once I started there, I literally just felt like I was posting Instagram photos. Meanwhile, I had like some of my boarding school friends unfollow me on Instagram once I started it because they're like, I'm sorry, like I, you know, supported you for like TikTok, YouTube, but they're like, this just makes me uncomfortable. So that hurt a little bit, but I think if I hadn't moved to LA, I definitely probably would not have started an OnlyFans.
Interesting, because I found that like, because you know, academia leans so left that I feel like I got nothing but support from people that are like a little more higher educated. It's like
maybe the my content just people sucks. On, maybe they're like, it's they're uncomfortable.
They're like a fucking whore and they work at like CVS. Like it's not like, you know, so it's interesting. Yeah.
But maybe they were just uncomfortable with my content. Maybe they're just like, I don't like you don't look good.
Yeah, for me, it's like, okay, we could see this.
Yeah.
But Jasmine, your story still doesn't make any sense to me.
Why?
It's just, I was, I don't know, like posting a naked picture of yourself seems like it's a big deal to most people. You see, there's no.
I always make this joke that like nobody would have expected it because no one expects a fresh attorney to do this. But if there was like an award in my law school, like most likely to start porn, I would win it. Like I always just was like, I don't care. I used to come into class late with like a crop top, sneak in the back with Starbucks with my heels.
So you love showing off your breasts. That's been a lifelong passion of yours.
Yeah, I feel not
born
like showing 304. Off.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it wasn't that big of a thing for me. And I think I just was so, because I didn't know how to use the internet, like the idea that, oh, this is here and people can find it. I'm like, who's going to be on Busty Brunettes on Reddit and like find this?
Like everyone in the
world. Yeah, exactly. But like, I just didn't think about it that way. So to me, it felt like it's fine. And I just kept thinking like, this doesn't violate any ABA rules. Uh-huh. Like, I'm not really like this. I'm not breaking any. Like,
the
what
ABA
are they
is
gonna...
not coming for you. Yeah, they're exactly. Not your problem.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was like, what can this really affect? And it seems so low stake to me because I had this whole career in front of me that I was like, okay, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Have you ever thought about becoming Trump's lawyer? He seems to pick on that basis.
No, I'm making too much money. I don't care. I don't want to do like a hard job anymore.
Yeah. Well, apparently there's some rich guys, at least one, who pick based on, you know, exactly. who would make a good OF creator. Yeah. That's it. That's so funny. All right. Well, so it was like, I show off my breasts anyway, and now I can just show them online. And
yeah, I never felt like, what did you think
you were going to get out of it? It was just going to be like, I'm going to post it. It was just like posting out any.
Actually, I really wanted, so my parents, you know, I did get a full ride to my law school. So my parents were actually giving me like paying for my like lifestyle, but there was these Dolce & Gabbana shoes I really wanted that were like $700, and my parents were like, okay, like you can't buy those like off our back. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna start an OnlyFans. And I remember thinking, okay, I'm gonna make less than $600. Don't even have to report it to them.
Now it makes sense. You wanted shoes.
I wanted shoes. And then I made that in like the first like 3 hours. So I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's just keep going. Yeah. That's kind of the vibe.
It's amazing. And so there was no kind of like, this would be a bad thing to get into full time. Yeah.
No, not at all. I just thought I didn't think I could do it full time. I was like, oh, who's going to like buy my stuff? And then I was like, oh, okay, they're going to do it. And then I remember I got the job I got through like an old internship I did. And I remember they like offered it to me on the spot. And I called my sister after and I was like, I don't want this job. And she's like, are you stupid? Like, what are you going to do? Just graduate law school and go do porn? She's like, are you insane? She's like, just do both. So I was doing this double life for a while, which was really interesting because I knew if the partners like found out about it, they would fire me. So I was like, I don't even want to be here. So it was like this weird thing of going into work every day. Like, I don't want to be here, but it also felt like a safety net. Like, I have one foot in, one foot out. Like, I'm not doing this full time. I still have this whole career. It's like a side hustle. And then eventually I was like, no, fuck it.
Yeah. So do you think in an ideal world where everyone could actualize their full potential, do you think more women would do OnlyFans or fewer?
I think more,
but I think they would do it in tandem with other career opportunities as well.
So you'd be like nurse plus OnlyFans.
Yeah, like if you didn't live in fear of like losing your law firm job, you'd probably be doing both.
I think
maybe
a lot of women don't do it because of the stigma. Like I think if you remove the stigma, if I look at my life now versus like I don't, the only time I have an alarm clock in the morning is if I have a flight to catch. Mm-hmm. Like just having the flexibility, the freedom, all of this, like people would 100%, for every person that does sex work that doesn't like it because of the stigma, there's a woman who would like to do it if there wasn't a stigma.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. I think if it was like as destigmatized as like premarital sex, people would do it and they would do it in tandem with other things.
Especially if they knew, like, if like you could guarantee a payout for sure. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times you can't. And I think it's not smart to do it expecting a big payout.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is, if it was completely destigmatized and more women did it, you know, your sort of your advantage in the marketplace is it is stigmatized.
It's pretty, it is a lot of luck. It's like content creation.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if there's more YouTubers, is it harder to become? Kind of, but like some people just, you know, I wouldn't say don't start a YouTube because there's already too many YouTubers. Yeah,
there's only so many times men can masturbate in a day. So as many,
they love variety.
They do love variety. But if you're doing variety, then you're not going to build. Do you guys do the OnlyFans thing where you're doing like chats? Do you chat with your users too?
I do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We both do.
Yeah. And what do they generally want to talk about? Are they just like, is it just horny stuff or do they like?
Mostly. I mean, because of the content we do outside, a lot of us sometimes find us through like debate type of stuff, and they're like, oh, I saw you on a debate and I saw you before, I thought you were hot, but the fact that you're smart also adds to it. A lot of guys are attracted to intelligence, even for their porn. It's interesting seeing the top OnlyFans performers are also like big personalities, like they're Twitch streamers or they're already big on other social media platforms. When you go live, they like people that like they feel like they know, like a personal, somewhat of a personal experience, rather than just going to mainstream and seeing like whoever.
Yeah, a lot of my chats are people just wanting to like have full conversations about like feminism and debates and stuff. Because I think they get FOMO because they watch these like whatever podcasts and they can't get on without paying like $10K in the door. So I think they like pay $10 to get into my OnlyFans and they like want to talk about these topics.
Yeah, interesting.
And they just want to like test out their theories and talking points. I'm like, okay. But,
do you get any like stalkers?
Ooh, no. I actually haven't dealt with that. Have you?
Knock on wood, no. I have people trying to always like expose me because I don't put my real name or like my real, so people are always like trying to dox me, but like nothing other than that.
Oh, that's lucky.
I've been doxed and no one wants to touch me.
I've been doxed too. I'll get a comment like saying my real name or something, and I'll just but nothing like serious.
The types of people who also go on OnlyFans or like even like threaten you online aren't the type of people to like materialize that action in the real world. Like it's like totally different types of people who like do in-person stalking versus like online harassment typically.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't expect to be like stalked and like actually have my, even though I know it's a possibility, but like I expect to be doxxed. Like you know what you're getting into.
What do you think? What are you afraid of at this point? Because your family knows. So what else do you think is going to happen?
Honestly, nothing really, other than like, I mean, a little bit of safety. And I don't want like my old school or my old workplace to be harassed because of me. Like, I just feel bad for that. Like, I mean, other than that, I don't really care.
Yeah. Why would people harass your school? Like your college?
Because literally there was a guy who sent a letter to every law school in the country.
Oh my God,
that's
so funny.
And he literally was like, there's this prostitute.
Where they like take back her degree?
Yeah, he's like, can you guys, I can't believe you guys allow this prostitute to practice law. And he didn't know his school.
Revoke her JD.
That was the letter. So people are really crazy out there.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
And so when you're with these red pill
alpha males, we like to call them.
Are you just overwhelmed by their masculinity?
Yeah.
Or are you just
soaked?
So hard to like not run into their arms and say, take me now.
Yeah.
They do seem to be a lot of variation, right? There do seem to be some like bodybuilder types, and there do seem
even the ones that are bodybuilder types, though, like their personalities are so
soy.
Yeah, I just become completely unattractive. Like they're trying too hard. They're like the bodybuilders are like pounding their chest types, and it's like it kills it.
And so how are you, like, do you feel like you get along? Like, are they, like, how serious are they? Are they, like, do they talk to you and do you feel like they think you're the devil or are they just, like,
it's a spectrum. Like, there are some guys who afterwards will be like, let me take you to dinner. Like, you know what I mean? We're a natural pair. I
want
like,
to.
They'll flirt with us.
But then there's some who are, like, through and through, like, no, I will not, like, you know, look at these women. I would not touch them with a 10-foot pole. I actually don't know how common that is.
I haven't seen that. Yeah. Usually you get a lot of them, like I would say, like, you know, one of the main hosts on Fresh and Fit is super serious about his views. Like, even before he was doing this, I know people who've known him. But he'll say, like, oh, you women, like, you are masculine. You're horrible. I want nothing to do with you. And then right after, they'll try to have sex with you.
Yeah.
But they really do believe what they say. Yeah. It's just, yeah.
They have cognitive dissonance. There are a few grifters who are definitely in it because, like, Red Pill is a cash grab right now. But I think, like, Fresh and Fit are pretty genuine. Or maybe now they're backtracking a bit.
Yeah, I mean, they all get, like, the echo chamber, the audience capture. Like, I think that feeds into it.
They're all genuine in their misogyny.
Yeah.
In how much they actually live their own virtuous lives, that's where they fall short.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they believe it, but they don't actually follow.
Like, they'll claim to be Muslim, but they're having threesomes and doing drugs, but they keep that all offline. But the misogyny is always sincere. Like, that's real.
No, that makes sense. And it's the virtue, too. It's very few guys, I think, if they had access to, like, hot women all the time would actually be virtuous. I feel it's like, screw you. Like, you are whores. You're not going to look at me anyway.
I don't know if these guys have access to hot women all the time.
Have, like, access and, like, they're in proximity. And I think they think that those women are going to sleep with them because they're, like, clout chasing.
Well, they also have, like a what is it called? A selection bias, because the same type of women that they say are horrible, like these people that are only in it for transactional resources, for sex, but then these are the only women that will...
They bring on sugar babies, but it's funny because the sugar babies still, like, turn them down, like, still curve.
Yeah,
them.
I mean, you got to think about, like, what woman wants to, like, be seen with a man who spends 15 hours a week talking shit about women?
Yeah.
Like, it's just so embarrassing.
And telling them, like, get on the scale, you fat bitch.
Yeah, like just crazy things. Yeah. And it's, like, also, like, even they're podcasters and talking about masculinity, like, go fight in a war or something. We're just sitting here talking about women, gossiping is literally your job. It's so not masculine.
That's true. But when you get a little bit of fame, I think for a man, like, women will just, I mean, you will have opportunities with women. So I doubt these guys, they're probably getting basket cases, like, just being online talking all day about how much women suck, but I'm sure they get women. And maybe you're right, maybe that is
I've
what's
asked
buying
some of them,
them
and some of them are like, like, some of the big hosts, I'm like, you must get some women because you're famous who at least want to, like, use you for clout. And they're like, no.
Yeah.
Like, they'll just be like, can I come on your show?
And that
I've really
fuels
had women
it because
try to
they say, like,
oh,
women's lives are so easy. You could be like Leonardo DiCaprio and it's still hard to get a woman. I'm like, no, I just think it's hard for you guys. But
Wait, so these guys will tell you they'll be big podcasters with huge audiences and they'll tell you, I can't meet women?
They're more so saying women aren't flocking to them for having clout.
Okay.
I think it's embarrassing. Like,
because
I don't
they
think,
have such bad reputations amongst women. Like, that's the thing.
Because it's like, yes,
like
they're getting millions of views, but for what?
Yeah, exactly. Like, what woman's going to watch that and be like, oh, seeing you insult other women.
Seeing you get 5 million views
so
for
hot.
Saying you would never live with a woman is not attractive, even if it has 5 million views. If you're saying, I only want to live with men for the rest of my life. Like, women aren't like, oh, I want that
women,
clout.
Women aren't able to do deductive reasoning or anything. It's like, who's going
to
look at that?
But there are, but there are women who like to be dominated, right? There is 50 Shades of Grey. That was like the best.
These men are not
ever.
Christian Grey. They do not have the charisma. They don't have the taste, the style. Like there's not a single man in the Red Pill sphere who I think comes close to actual genuine masculinity. It's all so performative.
Yeah. All their girlfriends are like 18, need their rent paid, barely speak English. These are like the only women they can really pull.
Yeah. So they're right. Women do want to be submissive, just not to a podcaster, just sometimes.
Well, and
but
the kind of women they want, they're like, we want a virgin and we want to like, and those people are going for like traditional conservative. They're not going for these, like,
not
red
going
pillars,
for red pillars who are like,
who
we
are
should
like,
have a 50 body count.
Yeah,
as
so
a man.
Exactly. So, like, Fresh and Fit, for instance, their thing is men should be able to cheat and men should be able to sleep with as many women as they want, but the girlfriend shouldn't. So, what women,
high quality woman is going to.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, how many women are going to be like, oh, this sounds like my ideal relationship? I sit at home while you go cheat on me. Like,
what do you guys think about Andrew Tate?
I feel like he kind of like is one of the reasons the space is so big. And I feel like he's changed his views on a lot of things. But yeah, they were like the same. They were like,
he's a thought leader. Like I know when he like renounced Red Pill and called it an incel movement, a lot of like these beta boys moved in lockstep. Like Sneeko was like, yeah, it is an incel movement. And he like went Muslim with Tate. So I think he's very influential. And it seems like he's trying to use it more for good. Like I've seen him become slightly more feminist.
I think
feminist.
After he's, under the fire for sex
the other day.
He's trying to like move away from it.
Someone
now.
Asked him like, are men or women more intelligent? He said women. And the bar is in hell for me. And I'm like, he's a feminist. He's rad fem. But he meant it in the sense of like women can tell if you're cheating.
Yeah. Or
they're
so he's like teetering.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see him on Twitter. I saw he converted to Islam, and then like the next day he's on a private jet with like a bottle of bourbon and like smoking a cigar. And I'm like, what
is
this?
It's so funny to me and my brothers because obviously like we grew up in the mosque and stuff, and it's so funny. Like it's such a meme to us seeing these guys like Sneeko being like live streaming from Medina, and then they're like getting kicked out of the mosque for having tattoos, and they're like, please leave, like you're not welcome here. And he's like, I stand with my Muslim brothers, and they're like, we don't want you.
I know. I remember when Tate converted, and I still have like Muslim friends who are far more like practicing than my family and stuff, and they're all like, we don't want him. Here. Like, it's just not, this isn't what they stand for. And this is one of the things I called Fresh and Fit out on this too. I'd be like, because they, even though they say they're not religious, like, fit as Muslim, fresh as Christian, I was like, are your gods incorrect? Because they restrict sexual behavior for both sexes. And they're like, well, it's not the modern world. I'm like, oh, does the Bible not apply to the modern world?
I think
world?
I sent you that clip. I thought that was such a great point. Yeah. When I saw that, I was like, this girl's a genius, because she literally said, like, if you guys, I mean, it sounds obvious, but the way she broke it down was so eloquent. She said, if you guys are actually Muslim, then why is it you're promoting male promiscuity? Like, the Quran forbids that. And they said, like, Allah was not able to predict the modern female the way she moves. And I'm like, so Allah could predict everything else
except
the
one
fact
thing.
That maybe women would have premarital sex. Like, oh, that's a blind spot for Allah.
Exactly.
Like, it made no sense. They had no rebuttal.
No, they don't. I mean,
you thought they could at least come up with, like, a good lie. No,
they,
but no.
That's what, like, what he was saying is the bar is so low because they bring on, like, 18-year-old crackheads a lot of time. And I'm not trying to, like, I know that sounds really mean to these women, but a lot of them, like, they don't know what they're doing. And so they seem like they're owning these women, but it's not hard to go on there and be like, wait a minute, there's a lot of contradictions in your arguments.
Bro, it pisses me off. Like, I saw a clip of whatever. Sorry for, like, yapping.
No, that's what you're here for.
Yeah. I saw a clip of whatever where Brian basically says to the woman, who is more oppressed, men or women? And she says, women. And he goes, why? And he says, well, because in history, you learn about female, the ways women are oppressed. And he goes, ah, interesting. So in school, you don't learn about the ways men are oppressed. Doesn't that prove men are truly the oppressed one? And she doesn't have a response in the moment. And that gets clipped, gets 10 million views. They're like, got him. And I'm like, what kind of logic is that? You don't learn about, like, the oppression of dogs in school. That doesn't mean dogs are oppressed. Like, but she doesn't have, like, the ability to articulate to it.
Yeah, so they do those gotcha clip moments.
They think if a girl is silent afterwards that, like, the logic is foolproof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you guys, like, have you guys become, like, heroes to the feminist OF? Like, is your work getting appreciated by people saying, we're finally glad someone's standing up to these guys?
We both get those kinds of DMs every day from other girls or even guys who've been like, you've changed my mind.
I don't
on
believe
sex
the
work.
Men. They're like, I love your opinions. Would love to pick your brain over drinks. I'm like, it's okay. Yeah, but like the women are pretty genuine.
Like sometimes it's like they don't even follow you. They're like, hey, I saw it. Good luck. And like, I'll just like it and they'll never reach out again. Like, I think
that's more
genuine. Yeah.
There's these Muslim red pill influencers. Is there anybody in like the Catholic traditionalist space? Are some of them Catholics? Have you guys ever run into Groypers, by the way? Do you even know what that is?
Yeah,
we know
do.
What that is. We want to run into them. We
you
want to
run into them. I think they would run if they saw you.
Probably.
Yeah.
Because we're brown or whores?
Well.
Both brown whores.
No, if you hate Israel, they'll accept you as brown.
Okay.
If you hate Jews, they'll run away because they're afraid of women because they're all like 5'5".
That makes sense.
We have met some trad cats, traditional Catholics in the space, but they're all like LARPing.
Who? Like who?
The Wilsons.
Oh, the Wilsons. That makes sense.
And then like people on whatever sometimes. Like
they
pretend
you've
debated
to be.
Chase.
So I guess there's like a split going on between the red pill and the Christ pill. And so the trad cons and the red pill, like they fight over like, oh, is marriage actually bad? Because, you know, trad cons like, yes, get married. And they're like, no, marriage is just a way for women to take your money. It's just like, that's what
I'm curious what pill you are.
Yeah, what pill are you?
Like, what's your perception of red pill and all these things?
I used to be like into this stuff, like, and I think there is actually something healthy that these guys are getting at, but I think it's gone in a terrible direction in the sense that a lot of men like really have no idea like how to relate to women and what to do and like how to talk to them. So when I was like young, I'm a little bit older than you guys, so there was something called pickup artists.
Pickup artists, yeah.
There wasn't incels. There was no incels. I mean, incels, guys who couldn't have sex existed, but there was nothing like called incels. It was more optimistic.
Like
it was
Neil
like
Neil Strauss, The Game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so So I read that book, and it was like you can actually better yourself. And how do you better yourself? You go talk to them, and sometimes it's tricks, and sometimes
like negging.
It.
Yeah,
yeah. But it wasn't like. It wasn't even political.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh my God, look at divorce laws or some shit like that, right? It's all become like just like everything in the culture became politics, right?
That's true.
You watch like a late night show, it's all, you know, they're clapping because they hate Trump or whatever. So, you know, the manosphere has to become political too. And so that's healthy. Like you've gotta like talk to men and tell them like, look, there's a way to crack this code. It's not, they're not something that's so scary, you know, you just have to sort of live in fear for them or hate them. But then like, obviously I agree with you guys on like most of the ways these guys are bad. Like I don't.
You have reached the end of the free recording for this episode of Clown Car. To listen to the rest of the episode, please consider becoming a paid subscriber.